Hello and welcome to Outdoors in Scotland. I'm John Burns and this is my podcast for people who enjoy being in the outdoors. I'm just back from a glorious Glen Africa this time of year. Beautiful colours and it's just starting to get a bit nippy, you know, but lovely, absolutely. And for once this year, the wind has stopped blowing. So I've had a great little time. So I'm here back in my little home in Inverness and I'm going to talk to a lady now who's developing a new way, it has to be said, of exploring the outdoors. It's waterborne, and as you all know, I tend to avoid the water like the plague. However, I'm going to be talking to Jo Mosley about her book, Stand Up Paddling in Great Britain, and I'm sure she'll do her best to convert me. Hello, Jo, how are you doing?
I'm really good, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. Now, tell me, the best thing to do is assume I know nothing, because basically that's pretty well where I'm coming from most of the time. Tell me, what is stand-up paddleboarding? Just describe the pursuit for me if you can.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for having me on your podcast. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
So I was in Inverness for my book last year. So I have a little bit of an idea about where you live now. Stand-up paddleboarding is basically, if you can imagine a board, a bit like a surfboard, often a bit thicker and a bit wider and a bit longer, and you stand on it and you use a paddle, which I guess this nearest thing would be like an oar, and you paddle through the water. And you can do it in all sorts of places. So the sea, lakes, locks, harbours, docks, salt marshes, rivers, canals. So it's really flexible. It's one of the fastest growing water sports. It's really inclusive. It's really fun. And you can make it as hard or as simple as you want.
That sounds good. as simple as you like. That sounds. So how did you come to paddleboarding? What got you into it?
So it was 6 years ago now, and I had injured my knee at the beginning of the year. We'd gone away for a weekend and I came back on crutches. I'd slipped, not outdoors, actually, indoors I'd slipped. And I came back on crutches. And as my knee started to heal, at the beginning of September, I set myself a challenge, which I called Rain or Shine 30, which was basically every day I would go outside for 30 minutes and do some form of exercise. Right. And initially... Yeah, it was just to try and, you know what it's like, the outdoors can really lift our spirits. And I'd been in pain for so long. As soon as the pain started to ease and I could use my knee, I thought, right. So I went lots of walks. I did a bit of cycling and then I set myself a goal to go paddleboarding. I'd seen all these pretty pictures on Instagram and thought, that sounds great. So I went up to the Lake District on the 24th of September, 2016, stood up on the paddleboard for the very first time on Derwent Water. And thought, oh my gosh, I absolutely love this. I feel confident. I felt like I felt like a warrior, not a worrier. And worrying is my default mode. I felt like a warrior and just loved it. From the minute I stood up, I loved it.
Well, you're saying it's all about it. So is it the case that you were able to just get on the paddleboard and go, does it take sort of a little bit more practice than that? Or
so I took a lesson. So my biggest tip always is to have a professional lesson. Paddleboarding has really exploded recently and a lot of people are just buying boards, which is great,
right.
But I would always recommend you have a professional lesson or two just to get the safety and the tips on how to stand up. So I was with a really lovely chap called Bo from a company called Lake District Paddleboarding, and they, you know, within about probably 10, 20 minutes, I was standing up. I mean, cautiously, don't get me wrong. I didn't but he, you know, he gave me those tips and techniques such as, you know, looking forward, not looking down, which is crucial. If you look down, you start to wobble, you know, how to stand up, how to paddle, stuff like that. So, yeah, within 10 or 20 minutes, I was standing up and then we went on a little river safari. And don't get me wrong, you know, I wobbled and I sort of fell on the board. I don't know if I fell in the water. I don't think I did, but it doesn't matter if you do. Absolutely doesn't matter if you do, you know, particularly if you've got professional help, they can help you get back on. But yeah, I just loved it from the minute I started it, and I'm so glad that I did it with Bo, and he just gave me that great enthusiasm for it.
I mean, obviously, any outdoor pursuit that involves water, you do have to think about safety. And are you,
yeah.
So what particular aspects of safety were you instructed on then that you think is really valuable to pass on to other people?
Such a good question. So two things. One is we wear a leash, and we can wear a leash either around our ankle or calf, or more nowadays around our waist. And that attaches us to our board so that if we do fall off, we have this huge sort of buoyancy aid right next to us, which is our board that we can get back on. And the second point would be that we wear buoyancy aids, not life jackets, but buoyancy aids, which just keep us, and help us get back onto the board, help us if we are in the water. So those were the two things that we talked about immediately and which I try and follow now all the time.
I think you wear a wetsuit, do you?
Yeah, so it depends where I paddle. On that occasion, I did wear a wetsuit because there was every chance I was going to fall in. I wear a wetsuit on the sea. I don't wear a wetsuit on the canal because I really don't want to fall in. So I'll make sure I don't fall in. there I might wear, I might just wear leggings and on a wet day, waterproofs. And I also have dry suit trousers, which are amazing. So as the weather's getting colder now and rainier, I'll pop those on. So it really depends on the location where you're paddling, how cold the water is, the type of paddling you're doing, how experienced you are, whether you might fall in or whether in the summer you want to jump in afterwards and have a swim. So yeah, lots of different advice for different, I suppose it's a bit like, going to the top of the mountain or you're just going for a gentle walk in the hills. You wear what's appropriate to where you're going.
So I could see, if it's a mill calm day, that you could sit around walking, you could sit on your stand on your paddle board, that's what I'm trying to say. But if it got my experience is that things tend to get a bit hairy when the wind gets up in the water. So what's it, how can you actually cope with much wind or waves on a paddle board?
Yeah, I mean, obviously a lot depends on the type of board you have and your experience, but wind is a massive factor in paddleboarding. And we have a saying, if in doubt, don't go out. And particularly offshore winds, absolutely don't go out in an offshore wind because you don't know where it's going to take you. And that could be a really difficult situation. So we can, and also if it's windier on the coast, you might go more inland to a sheltered area such as a canal or a river or a small lake. But as you know, lakes can whip up the wind too. Or if you've got the valleys, the wind will just come flying down. So under about 10 miles an hour, we sort of say most places would be fine. 10 to 15 miles an hour, you might want to go inland. I generally, over 15 miles an hour, would, stay off the water. But yes, and it all depends on your experience and your how the board sits in the water can also affect it. But yeah, safety is massively important in paddleboarding.
And presumably it's the sort of thing that, well, particularly if you're not very experienced, you would sort of not do on your own. Is that right?
Going out with somebody else is always a good idea. Particularly if they're, let me just caveat that. Going out with somebody else who is safety conscious like you are, and you have a good relationship with that, you can say, look, the wind's whipping up, or I'm a bit tired, or can we go another direction, is really important that you're on the same safety wavelength. But it does make it, it's not just safer, it's also really lovely just to have that, that companionship. And often you don't have to talk to somebody. I've had the most amazing experiences in Cornwall. I went when I was researching my book down to Cornwall, and one everyone's young to me. So youngest instructor. So she took me around Cornwall for 3 days, just going to the most amazing places. And then one afternoon, the sun was setting. It was a warm sort of August, September day. And we didn't chat. We just paddled along the sea. We'd seen, the most beautiful wildlife that day. And we just sort of turned to each other and just sort of said, are you all right? And they were like, yeah, I'm fine. And then you just kind of go back lost into your thoughts, but you have that happy companionship of somebody else knowing that you're experiencing it together, and also for the safety.
So how long would a sort of average sort of paddle boarding trip be then? Are we talking 2 or 3 hours or?
That's such a good question, because it really depends. I know this sounds vague, but it really depends on who you are and where you go. So in my book, I've got one that we paddled for 40 minutes, and we the distance was 1.6 kilometers. And that was, we were on the River Exe. So we were on the estuary, the tide was high up at Limpston, and we were just literally waiting for the sun to set. And so along with people on the foreshore, people on kayaks, people on paddleboards, people on sailing boats, we were literally waiting for the sun to set, you know, behind, you know, on the skyline. And we paddled for 1.6 kilometres. On other occasions, I've paddled 24 miles in a day. So it really, really depends. I like to get, you know, I like to go up for a good 2 to 3 hours on the canal, on the sea a couple of hours too. But sometimes on the sea, I can be with the tide high. I can just play around, you know, by the shore, just messing about, sort of doing skills and things. And, you know, 30 minutes and my soul feels very full.
It sounds like it gives you a good contact with wildlife as well. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. So in Wales, actually, I saw amazing. I saw dolphins, porpoises, a huge barrel jellyfish. I've seen seals up in Scotland. I was in Carrera Sound, just off Oban. There were lots of seals there. Obviously, with seals, we have to make sure that we keep away from them. We never approach them. If we see a haul outside, we keep at least 100 meters away. We never disturb them. We have to be really cautious and careful and respectful. But, you know, sometimes they might sort of pop up near us of their own volition. Lion's mane, jellyfish, lots of bird life. One day I hope to see a basking shark. That would be my dream. maybe even a whale. Probably an orca would be better if I was on the shore. But yeah, so it's amazing. And one day I was paddling to Great Cumbrae, which you may know, just near Largs. Yeah. And it was beautiful sunset. We could see Arran in the distance and just looked down, and there was the most amazing sort of starfish and sea urchins, and you just notice different things. It's just, and it's a huge privilege to be on the water and so close to it.
That sounds amazing. And tell us about your book. And what do you cover in your book then?
So the book is called Stand Up Paddleboarding in Great Britain, Beautiful Places to Paddleboard in England, Scotland and Wales. So last summer in 2021, I literally travelled. I went up to Inverness. And I went on the Caledonian Canal, and I went from up there down to the Lizard Peninsula in Cornwall. I went on the coast in Wales, on rivers and lakes in Wales. I went through the centre of London on Regent's Canal, Wells next to the sea in Norfolk. So there's 32 chapters, and I tried to have different bodies of water. So I went on lakes, locks, harbours, so Bristol Harbour, Liverpool Albert Dock, canals, rivers, the Lake District, went to lighthouses, saw beautiful sculptures. So yeah, I tried to have a really good geographical spread, but also a really good spread of different types of bodies of water that people maybe weren't thinking you could paddle on. And then, as I say, ones that were like, you know, 1.6 kilometers, and then one that was like 24 miles. So yeah. Amazing. It was a real privilege and honor to travel around the country and meet amazing people.
So for someone new to paddleboarding, I didn't know much about it, but like myself, would your book be a good, when you talk about equipment, how to get into it, that sort of stuff?
Yeah. So at the beginning, I have lots of ideas on equipment, tips on safety, tips on getting lessons, stuff about I'm an ambassador for the 2 Minute Beach Clean Foundation, so I talk a lot about litter picking and I have ornithologists and marine biologists who give me advice about if you do see wildlife and how to approach them. So yeah, there's lots of stuff at the beginning that is really detailed, and I have lots of experts who are either retailers in paddleboarding, so they know their kit really well, or are safety experts. So I have stuff about cold water shock from, you know, a really eminent professor in human physiology. So yeah, lots at the beginning, and then different chapters talking about who I met, what I did, what we saw, and then all the technical stuff about, you know, where you launch, what's available to eat and drink afterwards, and maps as well. So I've tried to cover as much as I possibly could, and I've been really fortunate in that people have messaged me and said, I took the trip, I did exactly what you said, and obviously I can't guarantee they're going to see dolphins, but
no.
They came back and they said, yeah, it was tip top, and they really felt like I'd given them that experience.
That sounds really great. Yeah, it sounds really good. But you're also a podcaster, am I right?
I am. Thank you. Yes. I was just wondering if I could mention that.
Mention away.
I have a podcast called The Joy of SUP, the Paddleboarding Sunshine Podcast, and it is I interview women who paddleboard, so they might be racers, surfers, adventurers. SUP yoga, all sorts of SUP Pilates, all sorts of different styles of SUP that I interview, and I just talk to them about all the benefits, what they enjoy, how they got into it. It's a really lovely podcast, and I feel really honoured that so many people want to come on it, and so many people seem to enjoy it. I had a lady today saying, "When's your next series out?" And I'm like, "I'll get around to it as quick as I can."
I'm always staggered. Anyone wants to talk to me, to be quite honest. But there you go. Well, that sounds amazing. And your book's out right now, is that right?
Yes, it came out on June the 2nd, and it's doing really well. And yeah, it's doing really well. And really honoured that Vertebrate took that leap of faith with me, because they, you know, I think I'm their first sort of paddle sports book. And
right.
Or guidebook like this, and so it was a real leap of faith for them, but I think it's working out okay. So it's a really charming book, because it's not about me, it's about the people I meet and the places I go, and I'm just really the messenger. So I've loved doing it, and there's some lovely photography, but again, I was in such beautiful places, I just needed to, you know, press the button on my iPhone rather than a camera. I just needed to press the button, but it was the beautiful places that really come through. I was just a messenger, really.
Oh, that's brilliant. That sounds really good. And if you could, I always ask difficult questions, but if you could, what would you say about paddleboarding as opposed to any other? What's unique to paddleboarding that's given because there's lots of way of traveling on water. There's canoeing, there's kayaking, there's windsurfing, there's all these kind of things. What for you is the unique aspect of paddleboarding that fascinates you?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question, John. Because I have done some kayaking in the 80s. I spent a year at college in America, and I spent a month in Alaska sea kayaking. And we were looking and studying seals and just kayaking around, sort of camping next to icebergs. And I loved that. But I think that what paddleboarding does is the nature of standing is really unique. You have a really different bird's eye view, but you have a really unique view of the water. So you look down and you can see everything underneath you. It's a different perspective than being in a kayak or a sea kayak or a canoe. I think the accessibility, which is a double-edged sword, no bones about it. Accessibility, people can buy boards and they can be out on the water really quickly, which is great, but it also obviously has disadvantages in the sense that not everybody takes a lesson, and I would always, always recommend a lesson. Not everybody understands the importance of a leash or a buoyancy aid or the wind, which is why we need to talk about those things. I think the community is amazing. The paddleboarding community is really kind, really supportive, quite like the wild swimming community. very encouraging, very welcoming. Nobody is, I've never found people to be judgmental. And we welcome all shapes and sizes and abilities and ages. And I think that's another thing. I know quite a few people who have been surfers and maybe their knees or their, you know, can't quite cope with it anymore, or their pop-up isn't quite as strong. And there's a chap I know who's a who's been a surfer all his life, and in his early 70s took up paddleboarding, and he says he gets that same connection with the water, but obviously not the speed. You know, he doesn't have to pop up like he did as a surfer, and his knees can hold it better. And it's also really, really good for you because you're using your core strength, your core, which is so important as we get older. So I'm 58, and I know, no, I'm not, I'm 57, I'll be 58 soon. and just checking there. And it's really good for your core strength. So, you know, helps you with your balance and your strength. So there's so many advantages to it, but it's just a lovely, lovely sport. And it takes you places that you might not otherwise go. And you can see it from a different perspective.
Well, I have to say that if there was a salesperson to stand up paddleboarding, I think it would have to be you.
There's so many lovely places. So you've got obviously the Caledonian Canal and just amazing around there. And I went to Loch Morlaick, which was gorgeous.
Oh yeah,
Loch Morlaick was just blissful. There's so many gorgeous. Scotland is a really massive in paddleboarding, I think. Apart from the Lake District, Scotland is where everybody really wants to go because there's just so much beauty and so much variety. Well, I did go over to Mull, but the weather was not conducive to paddleboarding, but I did find some beautiful places, so I'd love to go back there to paddle.
Well, that's part of the reason I live here, to be quite honest. It's been fascinating talking to you, Joe. And what I'll do is I'll put obviously a link to your podcast and a link to your
Thank
book
you.
On the page for my podcast. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, please give me a wee follow on whatever platform you use for your podcasts. And I wish Joe, I wish you all the best for your book. And it's been
Thank
lovely talking.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Take care.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.